Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy. Together, let's drive.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Gorgeous Tuesday morning today here in our Amherst studios. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I don't care that it's cold today. It's pretty out.
It's just a little deceiving.
Pretty out.
But you know what? It's kind of funny how things go and how you can connect things to other things that you're doing within your day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it looks nice out there. We had to look nice today.
I did for 2 days in a row.
Yes.
So I can't get my day straight.
Yeah,
again.
But that's a you problem.
It's such a character flaw.
We had some headshots snapped of us here, probably for social media, website, everything like that. You, me, Joe Calley, and Josh Schmidt sitting over there on the other side of the glass right now, and it was a good old time. We're just laughing it up and realizing, it is really hard to get a picture when you're just being told to smile.
I just don't know what to do with the poses. What am I supposed to do with my hands and arms? I don't know what to do.
You were standing like at attention.
I don't know what to do.
And luckily Josh and I were there to like help soften you up.
Like, do I lean? My best quality is my height. I don't want to do that.
My best quality is my height.
Oh, it's so frustrating. We'll talk more on that.
But I felt like that was a fun little palate starter because of the fact that like it looks nice outside. It's very picturesque.
It's how we spent the last half an hour.
It's how we spent the last half hour was trying to look nice.
Let's go down to somewhere else that is very nice. Florida, as joining us on the Western Hotline. Sal Capaccio, as WGR's coverage of the NFL owners' meetings live from Palm Beach, Florida, is brought to you by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Visit windownation.com. Sal, it is voting day. How are we doing this morning?
Wow. I mean, you guys, I don't know what you're talking about with being cold out. I mean, I'm looking down at my weather app here. It's 78 degrees and sunny.
Man,
I knew it.
I mean, you know, you were leaning on the wall. I'm leaning on a palm tree right now. I just want you to know that, pal.
Oh, that's
the only way this gets.
I'm doing
worse.
Good. How about you guys? You guys good?
If Sal hit
you
me with, I'm having coffee by the pool, I would have lost it.
Yeah, you know what? We're doing good. I'm not letting this baiting attempt happen here, Mr. Capaccio. I'm not having it.
It is April Fool's Day, so be on the lookout. Be careful. But I don't think anybody's fooling us with these rules that are getting voted on. It is voting day. You're right. Several rules have already come in, and we know that a couple have passed, and at least one has not. The one that did not pass that we know of as of right now is the defensive holding slash illegal contact getting an automatic first down. That will remain. They're not eliminating that. You still get an automatic first down if it's defensive holding or illegal contact. No word on the tush push yet. We'll see where that goes. I imagine that's the one that's going to get the biggest talk today and debate. But we do know the NFL has passed a new rule saying that overtime is changing. Mm-hmm. Both teams will possess the ball in overtime the same way that it works in the playoffs. So if Team A scores a touchdown, Team B will still be able to have an opportunity to score a touchdown. As we know, the last few years it's been you score a touchdown, the game is over. But in the playoffs, they changed this rule. Now it's going to be aligned with what it is in the playoffs. That said, guys, there is not an expansion of the overtime time and overtime because it's going to stay at 10 minutes. There's a thought that, well, you should increase it to 15 minutes then. In the playoffs, somebody's got to win. You're going to keep going. What happens at the end of 10 minutes? End of 10 minutes, whoever is, you know, if the team is winning, they won. If they score and you leave you 2 minutes left, then so be it. You know, I mean, then you're at the whim of that. The other one is that has passed is the expansion of replay. And I will explain to everybody what this means. So starting this year, if there is a face mask called on the field or tripping called on the field or roughing the punter or running into the punter or kicker, and I think one more, I have to look at it as well, they can call down, if there's clear and obvious evidence that says this did not actually happen, replay assist can call down and say pick up the flag. What they can't do is say, hey, you missed one, you have to throw the flag. So now flags that are thrown can be picked up if it's clear and obvious for these specific fouls. However, replay assist cannot throw a flag after a play. A referee still has to do that for the play.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Sal, the one that kind of got me, I missed it because I also saw some of the kickoff stuff too. We'll get to that. Hasn't been voted on yet either. I'm not too surprised by the overtime change. It maybe, to me at least, felt like it was going to go that way after it was changed in the playoffs. I guess in my head, there was no real reason to have a different playoff rule to the regular season. My only fear is, I guess, with this is I don't want more ties in football. I'd like that there was an ability to just end it in the regular season. There's probably no data correlating to this. I'm almost worried that there's just going to be more ties in football now.
Really? No, I don't think so. What would get you there? Because how many overtime games are there really even in the first
place?
That's
right. Well, that's what I'm saying. My first thought is, I'm like, maybe, but no, probably not, because there's not many overtime games anyways. Most games are close, but they don't necessarily get there. My thing is just I like that
there was an OVO. Let's remember, though, one thing, though, Zach. You still had in the old rule, you still could get a tie just from a field goal and field goal, mm-hmm, and the game pretty much then ends a little while later, right? So I don't know. I don't think that's a concern. I don't think anyone's concerned about that. The only concern was maybe, you know, expanding it and playing more. And even, you know, giving this will allow the game to go on longer, and that's always been a health and safety concern. But, you know, heck, I mean, they want to get to a winner. I think they want to, you know, at least give everybody an opportunity here because of what we've seen over the last few years, of even in the Bills playoff game, obviously, a few years ago, which prompted that rule change. But I wouldn't think so. I don't think anybody, you know, that would be a pretty rare thing anyway, I think, to get to that spot.
On the tush push, obviously that has not been voted on yet. I did see Diana Rossini maybe about an hour ago tweet out that there was rumblings that it may not even be voted on today, that it could be tabled. Mm-hmm. Sal, please no. A part of me is just like, let's just move on. I'm indifferent if it goes or not. I mean, I think all of us have mentioned, it's not like they're getting rid of stuff like the QB sneak. I've kind of just had it with the tush push. I've kind of just had it. And if this gets tabled to a later vote or just not at all, it's going to be so aggravating for me.
Well, let me give you a little more insight into that and what Diana's talking about. And I agree that there's a possibility, from what I've heard, that this does not get voted on today. And the reasoning is they may tweak the language of this. Right now, the language might not be where some want it, that are kind of on the fence and say, well, if you change it this way, because what does this mean? I think the words immediately after the snap, I think, are part of it. Because if you read the rule the way it's written, which is the proposal, like the guy lined it up behind the snapper, in this case the quarterback, can't be immediately pushed. Well, let me ask you a question. Does Josh Allen get immediately pushed?
No.
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 Doesn't he move to his left and then he gets pushed?
Yes.
Yeah, and we were...
Okay, so...
Yeah.
You could have a team say, no, I think Josh Allen gets immediately pushed. That's a pretty subjective term, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's where this is coming from the people I've talked to here. I think there might be a little bit of ambiguity in the language, and maybe that's why they don't actually vote on this. They might, but that might be a reason why they don't.
Mike Shope was taking calls yesterday, and someone even brought that up, where it's like, get rid of it. It doesn't matter. Allen's got the first down before he's even touched a lot of the time. And, yeah, that could be something where it's like, yeah, the Bills don't even necessarily need to use it. It's just an added bonus that they have used. But if the language there kind of takes that away, I could see where some teams are like, ooh, now wait a second.
Well, I mean, I think you bring up a great point, Zach, and it's something that I've thought about too. The Bills kind of don't need the tush push to get a first down, right? Like, they can do it as good as anybody with Josh. Didn't we see that even before the tush push started, before the Bills started doing it a couple years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Eagles can do it. You got a guy that squats 600 pounds at quarterback. He can do that. What about the teams that really need the tush push to get their quarterback a little bit extra? Maybe some teams who are against it are also thinking, why am I allowing other teams to get better at something that I'm already great at? Does that make sense? Right?
Yeah.
I can do the Bills and Eagles. Sean said this the other day, that the Bills and Eagles both can get quarterback sneaks without doing this. Well, not everybody can. Can the Carolina Panthers with Bryce Young do
it's
it like that?
Exactly what I was thinking about. Is like, yeah, try telling the Carolina Panthers 5'10", maybe 200.
What about
Bryce
Tua?
Going to do this. Tua, yep.
Right. I thought of Jared Goff, honestly.
Yeah, he's taller. He's skinny, and he's a little lighter. But the point I'm making is this, right, which is what you just brought up, Zach, which is, you know, for teams, if you're doing this, if you're thinking competitive reasons, and I give Sean McDermott credit, I think he's actually thinking about this rule through a competition committee lens, not through a Buffalo Bills lens, which he talked about. And I commend him for that, because that is his job here, to do it through a competition committee lens. But if a team that's not on the competition committee, which is pretty much 29 coaches, I think there's three on the competition committee. If the other 29 coaches are looking and going, well, wait a minute, like, I'm really good at this. Let's say you have a team that says, I'm really good. Why? I could just do a quarterback sneak. Why would I allow the tush push when teams that aren't as good as me can get better at it? And I can keep separation by not allowing the tush push, by being better at them. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I like that point a lot. I like that point. I did see today Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. We know McDermott's kind of brought up the health issue. That's been his big thing.
Yep.
But I like that he's kind of been open about it, too. He's like, I get there's no data, but you know, I'm first and foremost health and safety. Matt LaFleur today, though, just flat out said it's not a football play. And that seems to be his big reason of why he doesn't want it. Did also say safety concerns, but from this video I'm seeing here, that seems to be the big point of it.
You know, it's funny. You asked me yesterday, and I didn't think we got to it because we had a couple other things in football, but you did wrap up by asking me about the torpedo bats. I've actually compared the torpedo bats to the tush push. Let me explain, all right? I think that the talk around the torpedo bats is the question of whether it's legal. And there's also a question of, what are we doing? These bats, they're not real bats. They don't look like bats, even though they are. Isn't that the same discussion we have around the tush push?
Yep.
What kind of play is this? It doesn't look like football. And is it legal? So I think the torpedo bat discussion is going to do the same thing as the tush push. My prediction is everyone's going to start doing what having these torpedo bats, and then there's going to be some sort of discussion about whether or not that's legal. I think that's what's going to happen, just like the tush push.
We brought up some teams that maybe can't do it. Carolina, you know, with Bryce Young. I'm still waiting for a team that just is like, you know what, we're just going to give it to our 6'5", 240 tight end, and we're going to practice that, and like, he's going to be our tush push guy rather than our quarterback. I'm constantly waiting for that, and with the torpedo bats, I think Cincinnati was starting to use them last night, Ella De La Cruz.
Mm.
And so you're already starting to see some other MLB teams are like, all right, we've got power hitters like the Yankees. We can get away. Oh, it's working. We should kind of keep going with this and also kind of help
the Yankees. Yeah, and what's interesting, not to change the discussion of baseball, but what's interesting about that is, like, all of a sudden, are we going to get, like, around the All-Star break, all these teams doing it? And you can't just suddenly say, well, wait a minute, we need to change this. When guys like Jazz Chisholm or Volpe are like, wait a minute, I've been using this bat all year. Are you going to change this on me now? Right, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I use. So, yeah, I think it's a really interesting discussion. But I also relate it to, like I said, the tush push, because I do think it's very similar, where you have a group of people who are saying, this is not an actual play in our sport. Why are we doing it? This is not an actual bat in our sport. Why are we doing it? Oh, everybody's doing it now? Let's change it. Let's ban it. And I think that could very well happen, a discussion on that at least.
We do have some more rule updates. This is coming from Diana Rossini. It's kicking updates. The NFL's onside kick amendment is going to be adjusted and voted on later in May. And then touchbacks on kickoffs will now bring the ball to the 35-yard line.
There it is. 35-yard line, guys. It has happened. Just reading this. You're right. I'm just looking at it myself. I want to make sure there's nothing in the language I'm reading here. It's right. So something that we thought was going to happen has happened. I think this has been, to me, I described this, I just did a podcast with Matt Bovee, and it's always game day in Buffalo, right before I went out with you guys. Everybody can listen to it today. We did one yesterday. We did another one today, so check that out. You know, subscribe to the podcast, listen to it. You can watch it on YouTube at Sal Sports. But I say that because we got a lot of stuff that we got into, and one of the things was this rule. And I said, to me, this was the biggest slam dunk pass. Like, this was going to happen. You guys know, I came on with you during the combine. And I said, guys, they're going to move this to the 35 eventually. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, there was just too many people I talked to who said, oh, yeah, that's happening. And then on top of that, even though it wasn't actually proposed at the time, and we're like, wait a minute, where's this proposal? It came out just a couple of weeks ago. They finally proposed it. The thing that really tipped it off to me was that this was going to happen. Teams like the Bills started signing kick returners, like specialty kick returners, Laviska Shenault, Devin Duvernay in Chicago. And you're like, wait a minute, why are you signing these guys who – they're just kick returners. Well, guess what? Because teams knew that this was going to happen. There are going to be more kick returns. Teams are preparing, and they're going to have personnel to make sure that they can return kicks.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline at the NFL owners' meetings. Sal, something that I also saw that the NFL announced yesterday was they're going to have three more games on Christmas, and now I'm starting to wonder, like, oh, at this point, the NFL's catchphrase is going to be, football is your family now?
I mean, maybe. I mean, this is not new. It's surprising, right, that the NFL keeps expanding in these areas. A few years ago, people were shocked that they were going to try and take on the NBA. They're like, whatever, like, we're the NFL. And then they got great ratings. They're like, yeah, we're going to do this again. And yeah, we're going to do this again. I think it's been a few years now they've done this. And look, the NFL loves to own the day. The NFL owns all of the, you know, the calendar in a lot of different ways. So this is another way. I also think that, I don't know. This is not me giving you any like inside info or reporting. I'm just speculating here. The Bills have yet to play on one of these Christmas games. They have the league MVP.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Look at the game. They put Patrick Mahomes on Christmas last year. I just think that the Bills could very well be in line for one of these games sometime soon. And that could be a Black Friday game.
Yep.
That could be a Christmas game. But I just think the Bills, with the league MVP, a constant playoff team, constant Super Bowl contender, is in line at some point here soon for one of these games.
Ugh. Which one do we get? One of the two Netflix games or the Amazon game? That's the part that's confusing.
I don't know. Well, not even that. Like I said, what about Black Friday? Would you rather have the Bills play on Black Friday or Christmas?
Ooh, Black Friday.
Black Friday, 1,000%.
Yeah. Right. Black Friday. Yeah.
I think so too.
I might be wrong on this. I think both Baltimore and Kansas City have played the last two Christmases, I think.
You know what? You might be right. And I don't know for sure, but that sounds right to me. And you know, there is a team that plays a lot on holidays. Go back and look over the last, I don't know, several years. Maybe not, it's not every year, but it's quite a bit. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers played on Thanksgiving, Christmas. And who do the Bills play this year? At Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I would just throw it out there, and what if the Steelers sign Aaron Rodgers? You're going to tell me this league, Aaron Rodgers, and a legacy team like the Steelers, very very wide national base, against the Buffalo Bills and league MVP Josh Allen, how juicy is that? I think that fits one of those games. I mean, it's at least prime time to me, but it fits one of those windows.
The schedule release, I always like the schedule release. I'm not like you and Mike who like just deep dive into it, but I enjoy it. I you know, my nightcap goes 2 hours, and we kind of break it down. There seems to be a lot of possibilities now with Allen having that stamp of not only were they ratings darlings, they're a fun team, what have you. He's the league MVP. There's a lot of overseas games. Now we've got the holiday games. It feels like it's going to be something like that this year with the Bills. And they have a really nice home schedule in terms of if you want also some of those games as well.
Mike Shope asked me a great question the other day. He said, if you take the four main attraction Bills home games, non-division, you have the Eagles, the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Chiefs. What are the chances that Are any of them at Sunday at 1 o'clock? Put it that way. Are any of those games Sunday at 1 o'clock? Ravens at Bills, Chiefs at Bills, Bengals at Bills, Eagles at Bills. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals, Eagles. There you go.
Maybe Christmas at 1 o'clock. I don't know.
Right.
That might be the only
is
way.
Is that a random Sunday 1 o'clock game, any of them?
No. Not a shot.
They're all either primetime or 4:25 p.m., right?
Yeah. Got to think at this point. Sal, I've got one more for you here. It was fascinating hearing this yesterday from Cleveland Browns owner Jimmy Haslam, essentially saying publicly it was a swing and a miss on acquiring Deshaun Watson, who is still on their roster. I did find that kind of fascinating there. And now the Browns, sitting there at number two overall, they can go in a bevy of directions, but you hear from ownership publicly admitting something wrong when a player is still on the team and cannot be moved based on the dead cap hit.
Yeah, but, you know, you're right. It's very rare, right? And, Derek, that owners do this. But I think in this situation, it's one of those deals is if he says anything else, and he doesn't have to say anything at all, but everyone sees it. They know where they are with it. It was just panned from the get-go, and it went – it got. Is it possible that it even got worse than what people said it when it happened? You know, when it happened, it was just, oh, my God, I can't believe you're doing this for all the reasons that, you know, people gave because of the legal situation he was facing and the guaranteed money they got. And then it got worse from there, mm-hmm. not better. It got worse, right? So I think that he at least, to me, a good PR move to, okay, you're going to take a bullet here, you know, headed your way for saying it, but I think what you could do is at least then say it and move on, if that makes sense, right? You've gotten it out of the way. I said it. It's a miss. Let's move on, right? It's not something hanging over the organization all the time.
Yeah, now it does feel like they can officially start to move in another direction. And that's where I do wonder, even though it appears Abdul Carter is sort of like the favorite to go number two, at least from the recent reports, I do wonder if there's still a team, though, that takes a quarterback in round one or two just to officially... Okay, he's the new face of the organization. He's going to be hopefully the next quarterback, and they really can just the contract once it expires can just quietly go away, and they don't have to have this lingering over the franchise as much as it has.
So I think that, you know, Cam Ward is trending towards, you know, being the number one pick, right? I think that's probably happening. But I will tell you guys from people I've talked to here, and I agree, and I've said this. I don't think there's a sentiment that this is a really great quarterback class.
No.
You know, and if anybody winds up taking these guys, they got to have either a lot of belief or they're just taking a swing and hoping. Really, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and you know, Shedeur Sanders kind of at the top of that list, but then you even get to like Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Quinn Ewers. There's some guys that some people like, but it really does feel like it's Cam Ward is the only guy anyone seems even remotely comfortable. Sal, one of those teams, too, I did want to get your thoughts because I know it's the NFC coaches breakfast today. Brian Daboll and really him and Joe Shane. Russell Wilson's there. Jameis Winston's there. But last year was maybe one of the worst years I can remember for management, just having the clips from the Hard Knocks series going around and around constantly for the Giants. I know the owner, Mara, has been openly very critical of those two, and basically they have to win early. It just feels like, for those two Buffalo guys, it's hard not to say that they're the favorites to be the first guys fired. How did Daboll sound this morning?
Not only this morning. I saw him this morning. We got a chance to catch up with him yesterday, a bunch of us in the Buffalo media contingent, because he just loves Buffalo, and he loves talking about Buffalo, and he's still got his family in Buffalo, his kids. They come back to Buffalo. He all he wants to talk about is the Queen of Heaven Carnival. He loves the Queen of Heaven Carnival and loves coming back every single year. And I'm going to tell you guys this. I don't disagree that what you just said. Brian Daboll's a really confident man. I think he believes that he's very good at what he does. And yes, there's stress in this job, no doubt, to win. I don't think Brian Daboll lets that get to him. I think he just stays focused on what he's done. You have to remember where he was. You know, he was with New England for a long time under Bill Belichick. He was in Alabama under Nick Saban, right? I mean, those are high-pressure jobs. They did win, right? But I think that, to me, this talking with Brian Daboll, this is a guy who just, hey, I'm going to go out and do what I got to do. And if things don't work out, they don't work out. But I'm going to go do my best. And I'm confident in that. Joe Shane, too. I mean, saw him last night at the reception, talked about some of the old Buffalo times, and I don't think they're going to let that get to them this year. They know they have to win. I think some of their moves prove that. That's Russell Wilson, yeah. Right? You could just sign Russell Wilson because of that. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think it impacts their personality or anything like that. I think they're both very confident and think that, hey, you know, we're going to try and do what we got to do, and you know, we'll see how it works out. Now, when you say maybe first to go, sure, I don't disagree. Betting line, that would be right. I just don't think the Maras do that. That's an organization that generally waits till the end of the year. You know what I mean? They don't usually do it during the middle of the season because they rarely have done it anyway. Over the last few years, they have, but I don't think they've done it like before the season has ended with anybody.
No, that's right. Yeah, even then, when it's embarrassing, they will kind of ride that wave, just get to the end of the season, and then let everyone go. Which I personally, Sal, for me, I never really understand the firing coach in the middle of the season. I don't ever really think it works all that much. Although you have had some that have worked in the Raiders. They've had some interim coaches be able to take them to playoff runs. But typically, I'm just wait to the end of the season. There's no point. All right, Sal, we'll keep our head on a swivel for anything with the tush push, any other rule changes as well. But outside of that, anything else on the docket for really the rest of the week? We know that technically tomorrow is still.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, correct?
Technically, but we should be wrapping up today. We're going to usually get Roger Goodell at the very end. Roger Goodell is kind of the culmination of everything that happens here. So we'll get the rules. The competition committee will speak on it. The head of that will speak on that. And then we'll get Roger Goodell to kind of wrap everything up here from the owners' meetings. One, just a operational matter that relates to the Bills, so everybody knows. The Bills, you know, the way the NFL works when new stadiums, you're allowed to borrow a certain amount of money from the league that gets paid back in a loan from the league when you build a new stadium. It's kind of an incentive to help you build a new stadium. There's only a certain amount that's capped at. But because of the overruns for the Bills stadium that they're building, the Bills applied for $650 million more in a loan, and that was approved while we were here this week. Just an operational matter there.
All right, sounds good. Sal, enjoy the rest of your time in the Florida sun. We'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline as WGR's coverage of the NFL owners' meetings live from Palm Beach, Florida with Sal Capaccio is brought to you by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. Visit windownation.com. I like the kickoff stuff. I really do.
Yes. I think that is true, but also, man, I'm going to hate working Christmas. He brought up too many good points.
I will tell you, I've been fully preparing for it.
I hate it.
I have been fully preparing either for some kind of European game or overseas game where it's like, all right, we're going to be here very early in the morning.
Like, everyone's going to. I'm usually here.
Which is fine. We've done London games before. That's nothing new.
For any of like the 1 o'clock kickoffs, I've been here at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
But everyone would be here at 6 a.m.
Yeah. So I've been preparing for that. Christmas, I won't love it. I mean, if you really had to give me a choice, Black Friday or Christmas, I'm with you. Not even a question. Black Friday. Let's ride.
Let's go.
But I think that's the thing.
Spare all the retail workers here.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, though.
Oh, actually, but then, then it's a normal day for, like, bars and everything, like bars, restaurants, everything like that. Those retail workers would be able to, sigh a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Because, like, there will be plenty of people that go out, but, like, not as many because, you got to get ready for the Bills game.
Yep. It's just, for me.
Especially if it's here.
Yeah, it's a bonus. Look, I wanted it for Allen. I wanted it for the Bills. But the moment you stamped league MVP on him, it goes from not only are you ratings darling, not only are you fun to watch, it's the reigning league MVP.
God, you're so right.
I hate it. And the moment that is stamped on, it's the same with the reigning Super Bowl champions, if that's a thing too.
Yep.
I mean, look, they've already, by the way. We're already new. This is not new to us.
You were correct. The Ravens and the Chiefs have played back-to-back.
Yep.
But that's also because Christmas, oddly enough, it was fitting within the weekend structure.
Yeah.
And then last year, it's like, hey, Wednesday football. What?
Yeah. But so right there, two of the best AFC teams in the conference, they're not playing a third straight Christmas. I could confidently say they're not playing a third straight
Probably
Christmas.
Probably not. And the part that's like really weird to me is like, it's this, hey, there's going to be two of these games on Netflix and then the other one's on Amazon. And it's like, Really?
Yeah.
We're doing it like this.
Although I feel like locally we'd be fine, right?
Locally we'll be fine.
Yeah. It's everybody else.
It's everyone else. Or watching the other games, for example. Like, say, the Bills game will be the Bills game no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if you wanted to watch all of them, that's pretty heckin' annoying.
Yeah.
And luckily, though, Christmas falls on a Thursday this year. So it's not too far out of the ordinary.
Right, yeah. No, that's pretty good. 803-0550, the number to call. What would you feel with if the Bills were to play on Christmas? Also, always willing to talk tush-push and some of the rule changes. Kick off the touchback going to the 35-yard line. And as Sal mentioned, seems to be preparing for that as they're getting ready for more kickoffs. The 35-yard line, it seriously is quite a bit different from the 30-yard line. Offenses like the Bills could really take advantage of touchbacks. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
I know what the data says, and I know how we coach it. We don't coach a push play any different than we coach a quarterback sneak play. So, yeah, again, the injury data says what it says, and we coach it the exact same, whether somebody's pushing or whether somebody's not pushing. We were healthy on the play. I believe the whole entire NFL was healthy on the play.
That is Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni talking about the tush push. I was genuinely wondering when he mentioned, like, we know what the injury data says. I'm like, what does it say? I don't think it says anything. However, we will get...
Spare me.
We will get no further information on the tush push today, as it has been tabled until a later date. That is per multiple reports who are there covering the NFL owners meetings, NFL league meetings.
As a matter of fact, from Jordan Schultz, one source putting it that the current language in the proposal is just not clear enough and can be easily manipulated, as Sal hinted with us in the last segment, which means, ready? The Bills, as Sal asked us about it, do the Bills really implement a pushing thing right away? No. It's a variation of a QB sneak.
Mm-hmm.
It just, ready? The way the Eagles do it looks dumb, and Green Bay's mad they can't stop it. That's what started it this year. That's all it is. I wish they would just go out and say, yeah, we can't stop the play.
And we're upset about it.
And we're mad. But also, now that like I've kind of gone on Bulldog's side of this,
mm-hmm.
about the tush push of having to talk about a play and calling it a tush push constantly is just one of the dumbest things ever. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. It's a rugby play. It's a rugby play in football. It's mm-hmm. not real football. It's not. It's just a bunch of people pushing at each other. There's no skill involved. It's strength.
Mm.
Well, there's leverage, I guess, is one of the skills to it. But it is more or less just, we're going to shove someone, and that's it. When they used to have a rule against doing that, and then all of a sudden it goes away, and the Philadelphia Eagles are just like, hey, we're going to just shove Jalen Hurts into a pile of humanity, and everyone's going to get mad at us. And guess what? You're right.
I will say, though, it takes advantage of the current NFL, which is also, which we don't always bring up. I mean, a lot of Bills fans have because of the last few years. Defenses got smaller. Players got smaller. They're quicker, but they're not necessarily as strong.
There's no Ted Washingtons hanging around on the regular.
And so I think that was a big part of it, is that once you had a really good offensive line, which the Eagles have had for like 10 plus years now at this point.
Yes.
Then you get a quarterback, as Sal pointed out, with Jalen Hurts, that can squat 600 pounds. And then you have the modern NFL defense, which is smaller, more designed to stop passing games. It becomes a play that, I mean, the Packers are the ones that brought it out. But really, the Bills and the Eagles, their hit rate's like above 95% on the play. And so that's the thing, is like no one really can stop it, because modern NFL defenses aren't really even designed remotely to stop that kind of play. They're just not.
They're not. And I think that the other part of this, though, comes down to, again, who can do it and who can't.
Mm-hmm.
As Sal mentioned, who can do it, who can't.
Yep.
And are we going to try to allow the teams that can't do it to get better at it? Or is there a way to get around the language and the ruling and the banning of it? Man, just bring back normal QB sneaks, man.
Well, especially because, and we're saying,
mostly because it still gets the job done.
Yeah, and I think Eagles fans could say it. Bills fans definitely could say it. It would still work at a high rate. Not much would really change. Both teams would still be probably above 95% success rate for it. And teams like Carolina with a 5'10 Bryce Young probably still wouldn't be very good at it, or would have to design something different to get it done. I'm waiting with bated breath on a team to finally decide, you know what, we're going to practice during the offseason and during our actual like in-season practices. Tight end, you're going to take the snap. 6'5", 240 pounds, you're going to be the guy that's our QB sneak guy, not our actual quarterback.
But again, it's just one of these things where like it just looks like a...
Aesthetically, it's not pleasing at all.
Aesthetically, it's not a good play. It's all 11 players are compacted into the same space, and I watch football for the skill and the entertainment of it. You know what was one of the most frustrating things about Championship Weekend? Not the Bills losing to Kansas City. That was always going to be a potentially frustrating thing, but it wasn't the most frustrating thing that I watched. I watched Washington try to jump the snap count and Philadelphia then refusing to snap the ball because Washington is trying everything to stop this. And it gets to a point where it is a folly and the refs are saying, cut it out or else we're just going to award them a touchdown anyway. Washington, at this point, I'm like, honestly, I would have kept going.
I would have dared the refs
to give them the points because then it really spikes into an issue.
I agree. And on that point, I fully agree. You've mentioned
because
a lot
Philadelphia refused to snap the football.
Yeah, and you've mentioned a lot that it sort of hit a tilt during that NFC Championship game where it became laughable. You mentioned it
like
became a
enough.
Foul. I would have loved to have seen, personally as a fan as well, I would have just kind of liked to have seen like on a stat
I would have loved
sheet,
Dan Quinn staring
gonna,
like, at the ref,
that?
Like how I'm staring at the cutout of Gene Steratore in here, and say, do it. I dare you. Because they're not snapping the football.
Now
it's a farce.
We do know, though, it's based off the language, so I don't necessarily know if it's banned.
And that's why
like
it's being
today.
Tabled is because they need to fix the wording in this.
And so on that, Diana Rossini is saying, so while the play itself may not be banned, it could still look different going forward. And proponents of the play, including the Eagles, don't look at this result as a win.
Of course they don't look at it as a win because they're the ones that suffer the most. And honestly, I'm going to say this. One team out of 32, cry, Eagles, cry. All right? You just won the Super Bowl. Shut up. Yeah. They're taking away our play. You have Saquon Barkley, my guys. Like, are you guys suddenly going to be all sorts of disheveled that you can't use the 4-inch play?
It's not even for me, Saquon Barkley. The regular QB sneak with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts will be
with
fine.
With their offensive line and their quarterback, they're fine. You don't need Dallas Goedert to be lining up 4 yards behind him and be ready to just charge into him. You don't need it. You literally do not need it. You have the main pieces already for quarterback sneak to be normal. As a matter of fact, you can do a quarterback sneak spreading some players out too. Make some players leave the box. There is zero threat of anything other than the tush push. I say ban it just because I'm sick of hearing about it. Like, you're kind of like in this net neutral area. I'm actually in this part of get rid of it. I've had enough.
I just wanted
a decision
today.
It's not football. It's rugby with more steps.
Yep. I just wanted a decision today because I'm like, nah.
Now we have to wait another 3 months talking about this stupid play. And again, one team, one fan base. Those are the only people that are going to be truly mad about this. Because ready? Sure, here, the Bills have a variant of it. But it's also more of a variant of a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Because Allen hits the guard before anyone even starts shoving him. But ready? I'm perfectly fine if the Bills don't have that. You want to know why? Because they still have Josh Allen. Any fourth and short, there's a bevy of options that they have. As a matter of fact, they didn't go with that on a fourth and short in a goal-to-go situation. They went with James Cook, and James Cook went Space Jam on Kansas City with the season on the line. You don't need a play that doesn't look like real football. It doesn't.
Some other news for the owners' meetings from rules.
Touched a nerve, apparently.
We have special teams. This I am much more excited about with the kickoff. The touchback going to the 35-yard line.
This
Sal mentioned
it. This is another one that I'm kind of very against.
Really?
Yes.
I like that Sal mentioned you're already seeing teams preparing for more kickoffs. That's what the NFL wants there to be some excitement to the kickoff. I think this works either way. If it's a touchback, you're sitting there all of a sudden stressed out because, let's say, it's Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, the Eagles offense as a whole on the 35-yard line already.
That's my problem.
That's stressful. But then I think it's going to force teams to get more strategic. You have to have a kicker who can get it into certain spots, who can force kickoff returns. And for the Bills,
why not move the kickoff line back then?
Move it back?
Yeah. If kickers are getting too good, Move it back. Don't make it a touchback goes to the 35. Make it, if you want returns to happen, just move the kickoff line back. Like where the kickers line up. It's not even where the rest of the teams are lined up. Everyone else is down there.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to move the kicker back. Not like in the not like in years past where everyone had to run down the field.
Yeah.
It is one guy. You move him back. And by the way, that guy, not your best tackler anyway.
Well, yeah, you really...
if you're relying on him, it's not good anyway.
The play has likely exploded.
Yes, the play has already gone wrong at that point. But all you're doing is you're moving that guy backwards more. That's it. So he said. So he has from the rest of the field to roam and be the last resort to still more of the rest of the field to roam, but move forward a little bit after you kicked it.
Maybe this is selfish me. I like it because the team I root for scores a lot.
I hate it. It's not like it. Football is still supposed to be a team game. I'm over here bitching about the tush push and how bad of a play it is. But like, look, I get it. Points are the thing, but you do still need a defense to win you football games.
You do. But to Sal's point, this is why teams have been preparing for this by having kick returners. You got to be good to be an NFL kicker. I'm excited to see how much the touchbacks go down, that we are having way more kickoff returns because teams can't afford. It's only 5 yards, but it is a radical difference in terms of teams starting at the 30 to the 35-yard line and how much they score, how quickly they're already into field goal range. If they have great quarterbacks, how quickly they're already into a spot where they're going to go for it on fourth down potentially if just by gaining 9 yards on the opening drive. I enjoy that aspect of now it's going to be a little bit more strategic because, as you pointed out, it's still a team game, and your defense is kind of going to be already on the back foot if you do give up a touchback.
Yeah, it just...
Special teams are going to be more important now because if you got a good special teams unit, good defensive special team unit, we don't really have to worry about any of this.
Yeah, I know that it's supposed to be putting strategy into it, but moving the kicker back, it's not even the kickoff line, it is just the kicker.
Mm.
Just move the kicker back. That's all you need to do, and you're still going to get more returns, and it'll be because kickers then are trying to moonshot it for a touchback. And it's not working.
Yeah. I understand, though.
Make it a skill issue thing because, ready? I can bet you there's enough defensive coaches out there that are going to say, we're going to bite the bullet. They start on the 35. Just keep kicking touchbacks.
I don't know.
I think that it's going to happen because there was an adjustment to how the touchback was moved to the 30. Right, Zach?
Mm-hmm.
And enough defensive coaches and enough teams were comfortable of saying, yeah, go ahead. Start at the 30. See if I care.
I don't know. I think there is a difference there.
There's a difference there, but I think that it's also still going to be, Zach, we are one rule change away from just kick it out of bounds.
Mm.
That's my problem, is that a touchback is now as detrimental, basically, as kicking it out of bounds.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
That's where my problem is. You should move the kicker back. Because then there's more risk of it being kicked out of bounds. You actually have to test the skills of the kickers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have enough leg to actually force the touchback? And if not, you better be ready for the return. There's actually more chance instead of strategy. And that's where exciting kickoff returns happen, is when the plan falls apart.
Well, yeah, what was the famous one with, maybe it was the Colts and Bears, but it was regardless, like, don't kick it to Devin Hester.
Yes.
And the kicker just kind of botches it. It goes to Hester, and he's off for the race.
Opening
and
kickoff.
It was the Super Bowl, yeah. And, yeah, I know the league is trying anything to make that not just a dead play.
But, again, you are now one rule change away from a touchback being kick it out of bounds.
Yeah, and just bite the bullet, kick it out of bounds. We'll go from where we go.
And that's very annoying to me.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We got some rule changes. One of them, though, not going to be voted on today, the tush push, as it is being tabled due to what appears to be the language in the rule. So that's going to be talked about later on in the offseason. What are your thoughts so far on the NFL owners meeting, the league meetings? How do you feel about a tush push being banned or not being banned? We won't know today, but always love hearing everyone's thoughts on that, because I do think it is an issue that there's a lot of gray area there for a lot of people. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Welcome back to the Extra Point Show. I'm Josh Schmidt. I'm taking over for Zach Jones because he was mean to me in the break. So, Derek, you had something you wanted to bring up here yes. coming out of the break.
Yes.
Something big in local basketball.
I didn't know if you were doing like an April Fool's angle on that one.
It
was actually kind of perfect because we've got them right now. That was perfect. You didn't even tell me about this, but I'm 1,000% on board. So, UB Women's Basketball. We spoke with Coach Becky Burke yesterday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer, who is not talking right now, is Zach Jones. We have Josh Schmidt doing that instead. It was all sorts of fun today with the picture day and all this other chaos. So we're going to continue on with the chaos a little bit here. But UB Women play-by-play man Jack Cruiser, letting everyone know Bulls fans came out in droves on Sunday, and if Western New York can pack Alumni Arena and the Bulls win, there's a chance that they host the championship for the women's NIT.
Wow.
So.
That's awesome. That'd be really cool. That'd be
so
great for
it's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. It is something that Zach and I were talking about before the show. It is confirmed at this point. It's attendance-based on right to hold the host duties for championship for the women's NIT. Very fascinating. I love seeing that. And now it is. For UB to host a potential championship, this is according to Jack Cruiser, they'd need Troy to pull off the road upset, or they would have to draw more than Illinois State has been. They were around 21-70 for their last game. And he says at the end of the tweet, point is, don't wait for a potential championship game. Get yourself down to Alumni Arena on Wednesday night, which is tomorrow night, 6 o'clock tip-off. And if they pack the house more than what Illinois State has been doing, or if Troy were to win, a win gives you a chance to host for the right to be the women's NIT champion. That's a big deal.
And that championship will be on Saturday.
I gave him his mic back.
I was worried my mic was shut off.
I was going to turn it down, but I gave it back.
That the championship game will also be on Saturday on CBS Sports Network, of course. Also here locally, you can listen to it on the radio, the Bet 15-20. Yes, tomorrow, 6 p.m. And then the other game, Troy and Illinois State, is going to be at 7:30 p.m. Both those games on television are ESPN Plus broadcasts. I would love that. Because now I feel bad. I sort of lied to head coach Becky Burke. I physically can't go tomorrow.
That's because you're working right here.
In the middle of my shift.
Yes.
Yeah. So I hope they host on Saturday because then I can go. Because I felt so bad when I saw that. I was like, oh, no. That's not good. It's not good. But yes, they are one of the Final Four. Troy, Illinois State, UB, and Cleveland State. They take on Cleveland State tomorrow at 6 p.m. again. Both at Alumni Arena and then here on the radio, the Bet 15-20. Going to take a quick time out here. Still looking for your calls, 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, and Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.